Welcome to the World Wide Web Radio Show. You are listening to W3W3.com, an internet radio show for people who need to be able to access the best in class when the time is right for them, 24/7.
That's right, Larry. W3W3 Internet Talk Radio is designed for the learning listener. It's all about helping every listener and his or her team achieve a more productive personal and professional life.
Today, our content partner on the Internet channel is John Safanis, Director of the Internet Business Solutions Group for Cisco Systems. John is author of the best-selling book about doing business successfully on the web, Net Ready.
John's been a frequent guest on the W3W3 radio show over the past few years. He covers a lot of information in a short time. Get ready to take notes, as his sage advice would cost thousands in other arenas. John, thanks for joining us today.
Well, Pat and Larry, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for having me back again.
Well, it's always great to have you. John, you know, we've gathered over some time now some of the most frequently asked questions by CEOs and CIOs.
Is that the blue-haired guy and the white-haired guy?
Oh, she was listening, John. And those of you who had maybe missed that interview, John said that if he was putting together a team today, if I'm wrong on this, John, correct me, that you'd rather have a CFO with white hair and a CIO with blue hair.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you, our listeners are anxious to hear your solutions. And here's one of their first financial questions. How do I get money to invest in light of the current economic climate and the short-term focus that a lot of our executive management team has?
That is probably one of the most difficult questions that we've encountered, that I've encountered personally with my clients. And there are a couple things. And normally, what I'd like to suggest to clients is that tend to save some money, like a pool of money, for really good ideas. And quite frankly, don't let that be part of the budget cut. The reason is, you know, you've got to continually invest in the future, whether it's 6 months from now or a year from now. So when people tend to cut budgets, they cut across the board, and that's a severe mistake. The other one is that if you set out a goal that, by the way, I'm going to cut my expenses or my overhead by 5% or 7 or 10, take the money you would have cut, presumably you could save in a cut, and invest that in a web-based application or whatever you have to invest in order to get that return. That's like going backward in time. Well, if I don't have the money to invest, I got a budget, then I need to get money to actually make the investment to make sure I reduce my budget. And what that does is that it really forces you to focus on literally cutting things by applying new techniques or new technologies, whatever. So you're betting on the fact that I've got to be successful in order to go ahead and meet my budget, because I borrow from the future to do this application to get there.
Ooh, I love it.
That's a part of business I think I might like. See, this is a common but complex question, John. How do I calculate the return on investment on my internet initiatives?
There are a number of ways to do that, let me put it that way. And one is that always comes up is, okay, if you have a return on investment, can we please define the metrics ahead of time? Like, number one, what are you trying to do? Well, I want to improve my response time to my customers by 20%. Or, for example, I want to, if I'm, you know, doing online credit card verification and it takes 2 seconds, I want to get down to 1 second. Okay, what would it take from a technology application viewpoint to do that, and how much would it cost to build the application? Let's say it costs $100. And by the way, if I reduce my time to actually verify a credit card from 2 seconds to one, what does that mean? Can I get more done because I have the same number of people? Is there a cost advantage? Because if I do that, I could get funds in, or at least get credit in, have them buy, and get my money in faster. What types of metrics are you looking for? And once you, that's the hardest thing for people to realize, is that you've got to set up the metrics right up front.
Well, what metrics are applicable?
If I'm saying that I want to cut my response time from 2 seconds to one, I can measure that, Larry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And is that really critical for your business to reduce the amount of time it takes to actually verify a credit card or verify a check or verify, you know, who I am when I call in or you know, what have you, or I do business with a service area or shop or vendor, whoever it is, or a gas station?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, and if I don't set that right up front, then I may invest $100 and say, well, at the end of the 6 months or a year, what do we do? Well, we think we got faster response time. What does that mean? What does drive more business? Yeah. The customer satisfaction get higher? What, you know, how do you measure that? So unless you get those metrics up front, it's very, very difficult to actually measure what, how successful you've been. And most companies will do two or three different methods. It could be enhancing customer satisfaction in terms of, if I survey my customers now and on a scale of 5, I get a 3. Well, a year from now or 6 months from now, if I take the same survey and it goes from a 3 to a 4, that's a significant increase. That justified, the answer is probably yes. Or, by the way, I know I spent $100. Did I increase my revenue stream by a certain amount? Well, if my rate of return internally is 15%, I should have brought in like $115. Did I achieve that? All those are measurable.
Boy, that really does answer their other question. Is when they say, I don't see a return on my investment, you're really nailing it down.
And companies will look at investment criteria very, very differently. Some will say, I want to see an increase in cash flow. Mm-hmm. Some will say, I need to have, you know, my cost of capital internal that I use is like 15%. So you've got to have, if I give you the money, you've got to have a return of at least 15% or higher. So it really does depend on how the company does their measurement and how they calculate return on investment.
Yeah, that's, well, I got another tough question for you. Why, they'll ask this kind of a question, why isn't IT delivering? Why does it take so long to put their applications in place and see a return on the investment?
I think there are two parts to that question. And one is, why isn't IT delivering?
Yeah.
And normally, they tend to take a project on that is like 12 to 18 months long or longer,
good
24
point.
Months.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you, Larry, most executives forget about, you know, when it started and when it's going to end. Their time frame and their literally their attention span isn't that long. I hate to say it, but it just isn't.
Good point.
And unless you squeeze a project down where you say, I've got to do something in 6 months or 9 or 12 to show that I'm making forward progress, management will not pay attention. That's the first thing.
So like
third
having,
is
having
manager's problem, and that is they don't pay attention, they don't get involved, they're not part of the process.
Is that like having metrics in between?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, you weren't quite done with that, were you, John?
Well, one of the things that we try to suggest is that, you know, you don't have to be a technician to manage a project or to be, you know, follow the project. And that's partly the responsibility of senior management and partly of IT management. And IT management has got to explain in very business-like terms what they're doing, why they're doing it, progress made, objectives completed, things that are a problem. And management has got to manage that IT project just like any other capital project. You have a start date, you have a stop date, you get a return, tell me what it's costing, and are we going to make it?
You know, that's a frightening thought, you know, to some executives who don't feel competent in that area.
Oh, Larry, it's amazing, because whatever fear factor there is, it's like I could understand everything in my business but IT. And that shouldn't be the case.
Here's a question, John, that goes to the human emotional issues that come up. Why is the adoption rate of internet initiatives so slow? And how do I deal with the change management issues?
Oh, that she really complex that one, huh?
I think the adoption rate is so slow because when an application is done, and I don't care if it's a manual process going automated or an automated process going to the web and having a web-based application, what traditionally occurs in most companies is that they give people all kinds of options. Well, you don't have to use a new system if you don't want to. Or, by the way, I like the old one better, and I like it manual. I'm not going to do this newfangled thing. And they allow that. And consequently, the adoption rate just isn't that rapid because there is no incentive to go to a new system. People are stuck in their ways. It's tough to change the culture. You have different groups of people that will adopt technologies at different rates, and you're going to have a whole bunch that won't adopt it at all. How do you get around that one? Literally, when you put, for example, a web-based application, just for simple things like changing my 401k online, and I could do it manually and call up the HR department, or I could go to the web from my home and do that. And the answer is, after 3 months, don't give them an option. You either do it online, or you know what? It doesn't get done. That will enhance the adoption rate. And it's one way to change the culture. A lot of people won't like that, but the fact of the matter is, this is the way we're going to do business.
Yeah, I think if people know what the rules are up front, I mean, we all have some procrastinator in us, and this will really help the professional procrastinators.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, it's, you have a small group of people within any organization that will adopt new technology in a heartbeat. And if you follow the path about, well, after 3 months, by the way, there is no other recourse, you've got to use it that way, that tends to be the group that could be used as leaders or mentors to other people within the organization and say, you know, this isn't all that bad. Don't panic. You can get it done. Let me help you out.
All right. I got another real tough one with you, for you. Very tough to deal with. What should I tell my board about our internet initiatives, and how do I explain what we're doing and why?
Well, my smart answer would be very slowly and with small words.
Oh, that's enough right there. That's great.
I think trying to convince the board, because they're the primary responsibility of the board is oversight and, you know, looking out for shareholders, you know, value and that type of thing within a company, and to, you know, basically oversee and make comments about the direction of the business, but not to get involved day to day. And you have a couple of things that are going on, a couple of dynamics. Generally, most boards tend to have more mature individuals who are on their board. There are rare exceptions where you have, you know, of people that have either a background or they're younger or they're more talented. They understand this whole concept about the internet, what it could do. Most of the time, it's like a foreign concept because they don't use it. They don't have to use it. And trying to explain to your board, here is what this thing called the internet is all about. And it's not, you know, what you heard about the dot-com bust. It's not about selling things on the net. It's about doing business transactions. And by doing business transactions on the net, we're going to build this application because it enhances efficiency. That means it's going to have a drop to our bottom line by cutting costs. Those are the kinds of ways you have to explain things to a board. And it's always in business terms. Don't worry about these are the exact technologies we're going to use because they don't care. What the board normally would worry about is what is it doing for the business, what's it doing for the shareholders, and by the way, how long will it take and how much will it cost?
Boy, that sounds like they need an interpreter.
They do, Larry. That's an excellent word for it. They need an interpreter.
John, this next question is coming from a person who seems to be ready for a straight answer. What are some of the biggest mistakes companies make? And then they go on and ask, have we made them, and what do we do next?
Well, there's an interesting client.
Well, this has happened a lot of times, Larry, where the client will say, okay, well, you're dealing with all these other companies, and don't go into the strategy directly, but what are they doing, how are they doing it, what mistakes do they make, because I don't want to do that, and where have they been successful? And literally, it comes down to about not more than two or three different things. One is they don't set up the metrics to do the ROI calculations right up front. The key mistake that most companies make. They do it after the fact, which is very, very difficult. It's not impossible to do. The second generic mistake that most companies make, and you've heard me talk about this, they don't execute ruthlessly. They'll take an idea, they'll play with it, they'll run up the flagpole, they'll talk about it, they analyze it to death, but they don't execute. It comes down to, well, you help us out with either one of those problems or both? The answer is yes, and here's how you do that. So we put on workshops, projects where we actually teach them how to, you know, go through ruthless execution, and you work with the client on to say, okay, now what are you trying to accomplish in this application or in this area, and let's try to figure out some metrics, because the metrics will change as they put applications in and become more advanced and more sophisticated and bring in new applications. But those are the two biggest mistakes that companies make.
Boy, I tell you what, this is a great segue into something I'd like to have us cover during the next show. First of all, I want to just acknowledge that there's no doubt that you have answered some of the toughest grinding questions that our W3W3 listeners are facing. So next week, maybe could we explore what some of the really innovative companies are doing, and then could we tackle that subject, ruthlessly execute?
Okay, sounds good to me, Larry.
So you're game for that?
Yes, I am.
All right, super.
John, thank you for joining us today, and we're looking forward to next week. This is Larry and Pat Nelson on the World Wide Web Radio Show. Check out our other learning channels on W3W3.com.